I want to begin reading in verse 35. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. The same narrative can be found in Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, the synoptic's gospel, chapter 8 of Mark, Matthew's, and chapter 8 of Luke. And so from the New International Reading of the Bible, I want to share with you chapter 4, verse 35 of Mark's gospel. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, or a storm, if you will, or wind, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Amen. Back up with me. I wanted to read that in context so you can see the whole narrative and picture of what was taking place. But where I want to land today is in verse 35, and where he says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" And that's what I want to wrestle with today. There's always the other side. There's always the other side. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and we thank you. And we praise you for the privilege of preaching. Pray now, God, you give us clarity of mind and clarity of thought. Pray, God, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, God. Even today, we bless you for what you're going to do. Thank you that your word shall not return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. There's always the other side. For somebody this morning, how many of you know, just the subject, just the topic has already been a blessing to you. Because when you begin to look at your life and where you are and what you have come through, this morning is good news to know that there's always the other side. When I thought about this, how many know that a triangle has three sides, and the pentagon has five sides, and a heptagon has seven sides, and a square has four sides? Hexagon has six sides. Octagon has eight sides. But how many know that with Jesus, there's always the other side? Not eight sides, not five, but the other side. So I want somebody to know that regardless of how we look at things in life and living, there's always the other side. There's the other side of 30. There's the other side of 40. There's the other side of 50, and the other side of 60. And amen. And I've lived long enough now. Amen. 70. There's the other side of 70. Talk to me, somebody. There's the other side. There's the other side of a fence. There's the other side of a door. There's the other side of the story. Friend of mine always say that there is always three sides. He says, my side, your side, and the right side. Do I have a witness here? There's the other side of midnight. There's always the other side. Jesus makes the statement, amen, to his disciples, to his followers, to the church members, to mothers, fathers, and children. He said, let's go to the other side. When we have what we have in this text, y'all, is a stormy sea and a sleeping Savior. It's about a parable of power. an illustration of life. He speaks to the miracle of nature and the miracle of in the spiritual realm, if you will. We discover Jesus doing two things in the text. Number one, he's calming a storm at sea. And number two, he's calming the storm in human hearts. He is the God of nature and he's the God of humanity. Somebody needs to hear me. So the question is not if we will encounter storms. Church, amen, storms are inevitable. As long as you got breath in your body and blood running warm through your veins, you're going to encounter a storm. Storms come in all shapes, forms, and sizes. Storms come announced. Come on, help me preach. And unannounced. Prepared or unprepared, storms will show up. Storms are no respect of person. It does not matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what school you went to. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have. Doesn't matter what you've been through. Doesn't matter whether you're wealthy, broke. Amen. Storms will come. I said storms will come. Church, this is a lesson before the storm. Amen. I said it's a lesson before the storm. Jesus teaches us several things about faith in this prelude to the storm. Jesus describes the kingdom of God with the parable of the mustard seed. He talks about the smallest seed becomes the largest plant when planted in the garden and yet becomes shade for the birds. Jesus wants us to understand a small seed, a slow start, a low entry job is not insignificant because God has a way of taking less and making it great. Amen. Prelude to the storm, y'all. He explains to them about the parable of the sower. When planted in good soil, it could bring 30, 60, 100 fold. Then he talks about a lampstand. Lamp, light is not to be hidden. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. And whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. And so if God has put light in you, and he has, your skill, gifts, and talents can't be hidden. Do I have a witness here? So the measure you use, he talks about, and all this is prelude to the storm. I'm going to get there in a second. And so the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Somebody say, go big with God. Amen. Can I just drop this in a little stewardship piece here? Amen. Understand the measure you use will be same measure that you will be used to give back to you. In other words, amen. How whatever you measure as it relates to giving to God is the same measure he'll use to be a blessing to you. Help me somebody. And I just want to tell somebody, go big with God. Don't worry about anybody else, but you make sure you go big. It's a lesson of faith in parables. Kingdom principles, if we trust this teaching, there is a blessing in the end. Here it is. Verse 1 says, Jesus began to teach by the lake. Jesus had been with his disciples for quite a while now, giving them comfort in his presence. Whenever there is a problem, he was there. Whenever there was a crisis, he was there. Amen. Whenever they had situations they couldn't handle, he was there. When there was confusion, he was there. So they had enjoyed his presence, which brought them comfort. I'm sure many of you have found comfort in his presence. Do I have a witness here? How many know that's what worship is all about? I said, that's why you get up in the morning so that you come on Sunday morning, come to the house of God so that you can find comfort in his presence. After all you've been going through all week long, catching it on one end and on another end and don't know what to do here and there. Amen. We come to the house of, that's why church is still relevant. You come to the house of God to go before his presence. Amen. So that we can find comfort in his presence. Here it is. Here it is. So the Bible tells us at the close of his teaching, when the evening had come, when school was over, Jesus says, let's go to the other side. Here it is. Let's go to the other side. Here's the argument. And there are a couple of arguments about this statement, whether this statement is a command or an invitation to go with Jesus. Maybe it's the tone of the text that might help us to determine whether it's a command or an invitation. Help me somebody. Let's go to the other side. Well, let's go to the other side. We don't know what the tone of the text was for Jesus. But I believe that he's so much God that not only was it a command, but it was also an invitation. Because sometimes he got to command some folks to do some things. Do I have a witness? And other times he invites people to do certain things. I wish I had a witness right here. Maybe it's the teacher of the text that helps us determine whether it's a command or a text. Because Jesus has the right to command us. And he has the privilege to invite us. Do I have a witness here? Amen. Command or invitation. Church, amen. The order of the day is let's go to the other side. And whenever Jesus invites or asks you to go anywhere with him, it's always inclusive of a salvific request. Stay with me. That means that salvation is a component of the journey. And, amen, what are you saying, preacher? Salvation is not only receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior, but salvation is also him receiving you and all of the all that goes with being saved and being a part of the family of God. I just want to tell you this. It's real simple. Amen. And the salvific point of the text and the component of salvation is that he'll keep you. And so listen, if he tells you, let's go to the other side, and it's a salvific, amen, component, that means that he'll keep you. Do I have a witness here? Somebody needs to know that whatever you're doing and wherever you're going, that he'll keep you. He'll make sure that no hurt, harm, and danger will come to you. He'll guard you. He'll be your rear guard. He'll be your guide. He'll be on the side. And do I have a witness here? That means he'll hold you up when the world tried to press you down. Is there anybody here know that he will keep you? Let's go to the other side. And somebody needs to understand, to know that where you are is not where God wanted you to stay. Do I have a witness here? Amen, amen. I wish I had two or three witnesses that would recognize that where you are right now, you might be going through hell, but God don't want you to stay there. Amen. You may have some difficult time, but he doesn't want you to stay there. Do I have a witness here? You may feel like pulling the covers up of your head. Amen. How many know, but he doesn't want you to stay there because he said, let's go to the other. The invitation is let's go. The command is for those, watch this, who find themselves complacent. Church, we are always growing from one degree of grace to another. There are some people who would not do much in life if they were not commanded to do so. They wouldn't do anything. They just would not do it. Do I have a witness here? Some folks, you know, wouldn't get a job if you didn't command them. If you didn't tell them with your lazy self, get up out of my house and you go find a job and don't you come back until you find a job. Amen. They would not do it if they were not commanded. Do I have a witness here? Amen. I feel like just dropping something, you know, because some folks, when you command them, they have the audacity to say, well, couldn't you ask me a little nicer? Yeah, it's a command. Amen. I would ask you, amen, to do it. I would be a little nicer if I knew that you had a track record of doing certain things. Do I have a witness here? If I could see some energy in you, and if I could see something in you that demonstrates that you want life to be better, but I've got to make a command. And how many of you know that some of us, even now, that God knows that we would not be where we are had he not commanded us to do certain things in our lives? Had he not commanded us to tell us, flee from that person, because that's not the person you need to be with. Do I have a witness here? Amen. Shake the dust from your heels and move on. If he had not commanded us. So his commands, church, becomes a plan for your life. Here it is. Invitation or command. Invitation or command. And let's go to the other side. In order to receive the invitation or the command, it requires openness. You got to be open to the Lord, to what the Lord is doing and what the Lord is, where he's taking you to the other side. The other side is, for some of us, is the unknown. He does not give them any information about the journey. He just says, let's go to the other side. And so you've got to be open to his direction. Be open to his direction to the other side. All of us need a way forward. That church say way forward. We need a way forward. I don't care what it is. We need a way forward in ministry, in a career, in our health, in our family, in our relationship. Jesus wanted to take them somewhere. And maybe they had been to the other side, but they had never gone with Jesus. Do I have a witness here? Because I hear your argument. You says, I've been certain places, but you have not gone with Jesus. Amen. Maybe your tour and maybe your journey to wherever you have been, relationship, marriage, career, job, was without Jesus. And so you've got to be open to his invitation and his command to go to the same place with a different result. Do I have a witness here? Amen. Same place, different result. For whatever reason, some lessons in life are learned or not learned unless we go through a storm. Are you with me here? And so we call this storm lesson because the lesson was not all about a storm. The lesson was about the power of Jesus and the faith of his disciples. It's a lesson about mankind and the master. I mentioned earlier, amen, it's a stormy sea and a sleeping savior. It says, let's go to the other side. I may not understand his plan, amen, but I've got to trust his plan. And so if the children of Israel knew that they had a Red Sea in front of them, they would have never left Egypt. Do I have a witness here? He does not let us in on what we may run into when we're on our way to the other side. Can you imagine if Jesus would let you in on what you're going to run into when he's trying to take you from where you are to where he wants you to go? Amen. You want to say, tell me what I'm going to run into. Amen. How many of you know that a whole lot of y'all would have turned back? Amen. I said, you would have turned back. And so if you had turned back, you would not be who you are today. You would not have what you have today had you turned back. Do I have a witness here? So he does not let us in on every detail, every step of the way. But all he said, let's go to the other side. Journey, usually. Amen. Usually our journey is like the children of Israel. When they got to the Red Sea, amen, they had made it to, amen, that far, as so certainly they would have turned around. As though it may have been as tough as it was, but praise God that they did not turn around, because we're telling the story today. Well, let me just kind of close this thing out. And that's all I wanted to share with you and just pique your interest and stir you up and let you know that Jesus is still saying, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Well, verse 36, he says, leaving the crowd behind, he put distance between the crowd and his destination. That's another sermon. He took on his disciples. He took those who were following him. He's still teaching them from a distant venue. Amen. And so what I've been trying to argue and explain to you in the text that it's an invitation and a command. But how many of you know that not only do I see that it's an invitation and a command, I leave you with this, but it's also a promise. I said it's a promise. It's a promise because his words, amen, he said, let's go to the other side. And whenever Jesus speaks, I won't come by to tell you that he doesn't waste his words, because he would not say, let's go to the other side and not allow you to reach your destination. Are y'all with me here? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes. In him, amen. To the glory of God through us. When God's promises are fulfilled in our lives, it brings God's glory. Do I have a witness? I've come by to tell you that God's happy when you reach your destination. Every victory that you have in him, amen. How many know that heaven gets the glory? Is there anybody here that know that's what it is? I'm leaving you with this. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, draw near to God. He says, and I'll draw near to you. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Do I have a witness? He said, no good thing will he withhold from those that love him. Do I have a witness here? I just stopped by early this morning to tell somebody that it's also a promise. He promised that God, that he'll walk with me and talk with me and tell me that I am his very own. Do I have a witness? Yes. Yes. I'm glad that whenever he say, let's go, I got to put on my walking shoes because I know he's getting ready to take me somewhere that I've never been before. Is there anybody here that know he promised? I said he promised. He promised he'll open doors that no man can close. He promised he'll pick you up when men press you down. He promised he'd feed you when you got hungry and clothe you when you were naked. He promised I'll hold you in the midnight hours. Do I have a witness? Is there anybody here that know he's still taking us to the other side? Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Bless the name of my God. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he make a way out of nowhere? Won't he do it? Won't he bless your life? Yes. 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 He will. I said he will. Bless the name of my God. Amen. Let's go to the other side. I got somewhere I want to take you. I want to bless you on the other side. Amen. You've been here long enough. I want to take you to another place. And it's a promise, y'all. I said it's a promise. Is there anybody here that can look back on your life and you've seen God say some things to you? He does not waste his word. God will. I said God will. Yes, he will. Won't he do it, y'all? Won't he do it? Won't he make a way? 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 Won't he, 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 won't he make a way? Oh, yes. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice. He doesn't waste his words, y'all. The voice of Jesus telling me to still fight on. He promised. He promised. He promised never. Somebody say never. Say never.
Somebody say he promised. Come on, somebody say never.